Suffering in the Bible. Got to thinking a lot this past week about a lot of suffering that's been going on in our world for some time. But in the past few weeks, we've had a lot of things happening. We've seen people. There's lots of shootings. There's lots of carelessness. There's lots of storms that are raging. The natural ones. There's lots of people with unrest in their spirits. There's a lot of people that are hurting. It says for us, for Christians, suffering has always been a spiritual and theological problem. We cannot deny the very obvious reality that the world is full of suffering. We see it all around us. And at the same time, our faith, our belief, our theology, and our hearts, they tell us that God is love. We have a problem of irreconcilable truths. The world is full of suffering, yet God is love. You see, the spiritual struggle grows if we are under the misconception that the biblical promise is one of protection from life's traumas. We often feel entitled to God's protection, God's comfort, and God's blessing, and still life sometimes batters us. There are no fully adequate ways to make peace with this problem. But some things can help us to understand it and to have a more mature and more adult, more spiritually sound and realistic way of believing in a very loving God that exists for us in a suffering world. You see, we begin to acknowledge that there are different categories of suffering. The first category is suffering is caused by human beings and human societies. Many of us suffer because of the world we live in and because of the people that we live around, the people that we come in contact with. Because people lie, they steal, they cheat, and they're violent. If this isn't bad enough, sometimes we unintentionally cause suffering. How many people die in automobile accidents each year in this world that we live in, especially just right here in North Carolina? Very rarely are those deaths intended, but most always they are caused by errors made by people. An enormous amount of suffering is caused by you and I. It's caused by us. How do we reconcile the God of love with the suffering that we cause? You see, remember, God has chosen to make us free. We are not puppets. We are not controlled by strings. God does not control us, and so we hurt each other. You see, it's impossible for you and I to conceive that God could make us both free and perfect. We are free to choose to make choices, so we can't be perfect. It says, I'm sorry, friends, today I would like to be both free and perfect. But even more, I would like you to be free and perfect. We're working towards perfection, John Wesley tells us. We're working on towards perfection. We're going on to glory. But unfortunately, human freedom and human perfection are irreconcilable. They can't exist side by side. They cannot both exist together. They're like solid objects that cannot occupy the same space. They just can't be there together. If we are free, we will hurt each other. That's just part of it. Because many times our choices hurt someone else. Many times the things we believe hurt somebody else. It says God does not prevent us from doing so, because the only way God can prevent us from hurting each other is to make us puppets and pull the strings and tell us what to do. You see, that's the trade-off. God loves us enough to set us free, even at the terrible price of suffering that accompanies that freedom. With everything that we do, with everything we have, comes a bit of responsibility. With that freedom comes responsibility. You and I want desperately for God to protect us from our own or someone else's foolishness. I wish God would protect me from you. That would be very nice. You probably wish that God would protect you from me. But when I expect God to protect me from you, I am not thinking religiously. I'm thinking magically. You see, magic would allow you to be both free and nice. But we are not in the magic business, are we? No. Our freedom is not incompatible with the God of love. In fact, it is God's love that sets us free. Mature Christians know free and fallible human beings will hurt us. You and I have a choice, and every day we make decisions, and every day we make mistakes. Every day we do something that hurts somebody else and we don't even know it. Sometimes we can say something and we don't even know what we've said. Have you ever been somewhere and been in a family and you see the dynamics of that family all around us and people are talking and all of a sudden somebody can say something and over here somebody goes and turns and walks out of the room or does something or rolls their eyes or I can't believe he said that or I can't believe she said that. Well, there's always that. People are going to be offended. People are going to be hurt. Sometimes people do it intentionally, but most of the time it's unintentional. You see, there is another category of suffering that is harder to understand. That is the suffering that is caused by the failures of creation itself. That's the things we see around us, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the terminal illnesses that we see in those that we love. All of these are part of nature. Nature wounds us deeply sometimes. I think that we make a tragic spiritual mistake when we read the first creation story in Genesis. And it says that God created for 6 days and He rested on the seventh day. We sometimes see that seventh day as forever, that it all ended. Did you ever think that on maybe Monday that God went back to work? You see, the Bible doesn't say that creation is complete. The Bible said that creation was good. In fact, the New Testament suggests to us that creation is still unfinished and that God is still at work. Now, we may argue with God about being so slow, but the passage from Romans says, all creation groans as a woman in labor. Creation groans as you and I do. Creation groans when earthquakes take lives. Creation groaned in hurricanes like Katrina. Creation has groaned over the past few weeks as tornadoes have swept across the South and taken many lives. People have lost everything. Creation groans as it is in labor for something yet to be born. You see, God is not done with creation. We live in a time of unfinished creation, and sometimes it will hurt us terribly. We may quarrel with God because God doesn't hurry up, but it is not up to us to impose schedules upon God. Oh, we can tell Him what we think and what we feel, but He just kind of does it what? At God's time and God's pace. So if God is love, what's the deal? We must get over this notion that God is some kind of seat belt or a protective cage that will protect us from all harm and sorrow. Many of us believe that. Well, we got God, we're going to be all right. Well, now, yeah, you have got God, and yes, you probably are going to be okay. But what that means is God's going to take care of you through the storm. He's going to be there to walk beside you in the midst of it. You see, we are mature enough to know that if we climb up on the roof and jump, that God will not suspend gravity just to protect us. Yet we expect God to protect us from all other hurts and troubles. It's kind of childish, really, but you and I need to grow up a little bit. God is not in the protection business, but God is in the accompanying business. He accompanies us each and every day. He follows us. He walks beside us. He's in relationship with us. God is in the business of presence. He wants to be right here with us, not protection. He is a presence in our life. God is in the business of walking with us through the pain and hurt of our lives. God stands beside us when the world seems to turn against us and creation itself seems to fall down upon us and all around us. God stands beside us. God promises you and I that we will not be alone. Look at the biblical record. Early in the Bible, the Israelites are made slaves in Egypt. Now that's hardly protection. And they were the chosen ones. When they are finally released from slavery and they come to their land of promise, and you know it took them over 40 years, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. They discover that it is not all that they had hoped that it would be. When they get to the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that was promised to them, the beauty of it, they are surrounded by hostile people all around. They're everywhere. They experience droughts and famines and storms and all kinds of problems in the land of promise. And they after they have occupied that land for some 600 years, the Babylonians come in and take it away from them and put them back in exile. Protection? Really? The Bible's not about protection. Christ is tortured and executed. The apostles all suffer and die. God is not about protection. God is about accompaniment. God is about being right there. You see, suffering is part of our lives, and a God of love does not coddle us and protect us from it. You see, the God of love walks with us through it, walks with us through it, and provides for us what the hymn writer called strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, says our God. Not protection, but presence and hope. You see, that is the gift of God's love when you and I suffer. We have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you, Lord, for the prophet Isaiah. We thank you, Lord, for those who have come along the journey with you, those who have walked side by side, those who have been there, those who have listened, those who have heard your cries, those, Lord, as we have cried out to you that you've heard us and you're there and you walk with us. You allow us to make it through the things that this world has given us. You give us the strength every day to make it through. Lord, we ask now that you continue to hold us, continue to be with us, and allow us, Lord, to experience all that you have in store for us. Be with us now, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.